absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I know my rent was gonna be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it all. But I got just enough to get off in this club. Have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it now.
Ooh, I want the time of my life.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's that time. It's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're listening to me, you're listening to JT. And, of course, this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me, and that's JT. Yes, I'm having the time of my life. This is the best time of the season for me. Actually, the best time of the year for me. Starting in July, August, and ending just past February. I'm an avid football fan and definitely a diehard fantasy football plan. Fan. So I hope you've been listening to me since the beginning of this football season. Gathering information and using it, hopefully, for your benefit. Week 11 is no different. We have several teams on byes. The Cleveland Browns, New Orleans Saints, New York Giants, and Pittsburgh Steelers. Some very relevant fantasy players are sitting on the sidelines in crucial weeks, winding down to your fantasy playoffs. But there are some alternatives out there. There are some still players out there, including some off the waiver wire. Hopefully we can get you to pull them off there if they're sitting there, waiting for you to pluck them off and insert them to your lineup to help you win this week, either to help solidify your playoff position, improve your playoff position, or get you in position to get into the playoffs. We have a chat room sitting out there. If you want to jump in that chat room, you can also do so. Ask a question, make a statement or a comment in that chat room. It is for your convenience only. So, without further ado, let's step up. And before I do that, I happen to see this is guys like a ghost. Dog barking in the background and whatever. He's like a ghost. You never know when he's going to appear. And he comes in and out before you know it. Well, he's in this time for however long. I have no idea. I won't know until he actually speaks and lets me know if he's going to hang with me for the whole show or if this is just a cameo appearance. Welcome, Mr. FSP. How are you doing, Mr. Victor Gardner?
I'm doing good. I'm sorry for my dog barking, but that's the reason why I'm up, and you know that. But anyway, I wanted to let everybody know that, yes, I missed my show yesterday. I had a rough day yesterday. I'm not going any further than that. Shut up, Jerry. And other than that, I planned
American
here for
eat
a little.
That food. American eat that food. Not used to.
Shut up. We're not going back to your Vietnam days. But the thing is that why are you still laughing about it?
I'm laughing when I got the information. That's all I would roll through my mind. American, eat this food. You're not used to. American soldier, you're not used to food.
You know what? Shut up. I'm done with you. But anyway, right now, since I'm up, I'm looking at the Cotto Canelo fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's already been over or not back in the States, but it looks pretty good now.
Oh, it's over and done with.
It's over and done with?
Yeah,
so just tell me who won. Who won?
I'm not going to. Why should I tell you who won? You're watching a fight. Why should I tell you
I'm
who won? That's like telling you the
I'm
end
not
of the story, but the story's
it.
Finished.
Because I'm not going to stay up and watch the rest of it.
Well, who do you think won?
Cotto.
Who's the
right
youngest,
now, it looks
hardest,
like Cotto.
Who's the youngest and hardest puncher?
Well, I mean, when you said that, I mean, of course, that leads me to believe Canelo won, but it doesn't look like he's
okay.
going to knock Cotto out.
Okay.
It doesn't look it doesn't look like that's going to happen, though.
No.
Unless it's a decision.
No. It's a decision, yes.
Okay, because it had to be. It was terrible because right now Cotto's just tapping him with the jab.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I'm here to make an appearance as far as I can go, maybe about 30, 40 minutes or so, because I really got to get to bed so I can get up for work in the morning.
You are a wuss, man. You are such a – you know, you have turned to be an American soldier, you have turned into a total wuss, man. I think what softened you up is – going from Germany back to the States, and especially that time, and I'm not disparaging California, but it seems like the time that you had in California really softened you up, man.
You know what?
Really
I'm about
softened
to get hard
you
in a
up.
Minute. I'm about to get hard in a minute and go after you and your weak fantasy stuff, but hey, go ahead.
What do you mean weak?
Because you came on the air to some R&B slow music, and I want to be. I don't even know. I'm like, what is this dude doing? He's trying to make love to the listeners, or what?
What are you talking about?
The music you had playing.
I had this playing.
I know my rent was gonna be late about a week tall. I worked my ass off, but I still.
That's not Pitbull, Time of My Life. What are you talking about?
Nah, I thought it was something else. So I heard some R&B slow love song. I'm like, what in the world is dude doing?
Oh, you must have been listening to what I was before we came on the air.
I was listening to something. But anyway.
Whatever.
So here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Mr. FSP is going to give the master his advice. We've been going back and forth over this one situation, to start Carson Palmer, or to start Aaron Rodgers
at home,
or to start Aaron Rodgers. Now, listen, I understand Carson is a top five fantasy quarterback, and he's going into a very tough situation here. One, not sure if Michael Floyd is going to be playing. He has a hamstring issue, hasn't practiced all week, and James Brown, he's been having some issues as well. Only these Larry Fitz and a couple of really no-name guys. I know Chris Johnson is a home run hitter. I know that Andre Ellington is coming back. But I don't think it's wise to start Carson against Cincinnati versus Aaron going against Detroit's terrible defense. Now,
It's not Detroit.
I mean, not Detroit. Minnesota.
And Minnesota's not terrible. Minnesota's it's very top.
I know.
And that offense is very shaky right now. There's a lot of second guessing wide receivers and quarterback, and they're on the road. excuse me, against a division rival with a lot on the line. And Mike
that's
Zimmer,
why.
And he doesn't have that much. Success against a Mike Zimmer defense. So that's why I'm saying, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a quarterback that has, for lack of a better word, a dysfunctional offense for the last three games going into this game on the road against a very good defense versus a quarterback who has been who's topped 300 yards on six different occasions and broke 400 once, playing at home against a team that can him, that he has still has bad feelings about, that if he can bury him, he will do so without hesitation. Playing at home, I would rather have a top five quarterback playing at home in a friendly environment, with not just because he's playing at home, but he's playing at home against the team that drafted him and then kicked him out the door, versus Aaron Rodgers. I know it's Aaron Rodgers, but that offense is shaky at best, especially aerial attack. They practically have no running game, and they're on the road against a very good defense who's hungry to stay on top of that division. To me, it's a no-brainer, but I understand what you're saying. It's Aaron Rodgers, but Carson Palmer, and a lot of people have been doing this, they've been underestimating Carson Palmer, and I've been telling people from beginning of before the season started that Carson Palmer is all that and more, and he hasn't disappointed me yet. Bad matchups, good matchups, he's been balling out. He threw in Seattle for over 300 yards, damn near 400 yards, 360-something yards. Balled out in Seattle against that Legion of Doom. You don't think he's going to do that same against a defense that's good, but not as good on the road as they are at home.
So, I'll tell you like this.
I'm just saying that. I
understand what you're saying, JT. I really do. But at the same time, I'm looking at, you know, Aaron has – a point to prove here. Minnesota can't stop AP. I mean, not Minnesota. Green Bay has had problems stopping AP run the rock a lot. But if it becomes a situation where they have to throw the ball, Minnesota that is, I don't think that Diggs and Wallace and Johnson are going to be able to produce the way that Aaron will do with Devontae Adams or with Cobb and other folks. Now, again, predicated on Green Bay making it a shootout. If they don't make this a shootout, you know, they're going to lose this game. They need to make it a shootout because Teddy Bridgewater is not going to win a shootout. He's not. So, that's just my thought process.
And since we're on the game, and we'll start off with this game, that's not a problem. I'm not worried about who wins or loses this game. I'm talking about fantasy points. And in my opinion, I think Carson Palmer is a more safer bet, even though a lot of people are going with Aaron Rodgers. But Carson Palmer, in my opinion, is a better bet. He already said this is personal. He already came out in the last couple of days and said he definitely still has some animosity of the way it was handled and him leaving Cincinnati. So I can tell you right now, and Jermaine Gresham is also a member of the Arizona Cardinals. So those two, even though Jermaine Gresham is not as big an influence as Carson Palmer in scoring points and in fantasy, these two guys are going to want to run the score up on Andy Dalton. And remember when this game's being played. Remember the last time Andy Dalton was in prime time on Monday night against Houston. And I told you Houston was going to win that game. But you didn't believe it. And everybody I talked to thought there was no chance going into Cincinnati, Houston was going to win that game. But
I didn't talk about that game with you.
Let's digress. I'm just digressing for a minute. Understand the history of certain teams, and we talked about this before. Understand the history of certain teams going up against other teams. The history with Cincinnati and Houston was that Houston had the better part of that versus Cincinnati. The reason I'm saying this is they were all primetime games that Cincinnati played Houston, including this past Monday night, and Andy Dalton is one of the worst players, especially in the quarterback position, in playing in primetime games. He played Arizona played on 8:30 last Sunday night, and they're playing back-to-back Sunday night games. primetime game. Only game being played at night is the Sunday night game, and it's going to be Cincinnati going into Arizona playing Arizona. Andy Dalton doesn't play well in primetime games, meaning, in my opinion, Carson Palmer is going to have some short fields because Andy Dalton, in my opinion, is going to turn the ball over, especially on the road. Especially on the road against a very good defense. So I'm expecting Carson Palmer to have some short fields and be able to produce some points versus, and I got to stress this vehemently, Aaron Rodgers in a dysfunctional offense that they haven't been able to get it together yet. You would think they would have got it together last week when they played Detroit. Detroit hadn't won in Green Bay in over 20 years. Over 20 years they hadn't won in Green Bay. And it's Detroit team that had a shakeup in the front office, shakeup offensive coordinator. They had all kinds of dysfunction going on in that Detroit team. And they still beat. They still walked off with a win, even though many times they tried to give that game away to Green Bay. And Green Bay couldn't take it because they couldn't function well enough in the passing game to overcome all the problems that they had. So what makes you think in back-to-back division games, one home, this one on the road, against a hungry Minnesota team with a very good defense that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have success against Mike Zimmer defenses, with all the problems that Green Bay has on offense, that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a better fantasy day. And I'm worried about winning and losing. A better fantasy day than Carson Palmer playing at home against a team that he has animosity for. It's a no-brainer for me, but I'll give you the floor again. Maybe you can make a valid point. I don't think you can, but I'm giving it to you.
I mean, hey, with all that jibber jabber you doing over there,
all that statistical facts and reasonable deduction. So I don't know what you're talking about, jibber jabber.
Well, here's the deal: you're saying that Carson will have a short field. That's wonderful, but you're only down to Fitzgerald, and you're not sure because Aaron said if Floyd runs, he'll be out there, but that doesn't mean he's going to get the ball. Gresham, yes, that's the one person that you made sense by saying, but you said that's the one guy everybody needs to watch. Now, Gresham has a chip on his shoulder. He didn't like it when Eifert came in and took his job. Got it. But he was also not able to hold his job. So all the animosity stuff, that's great. And, yes, Arizona's defense is going to do well. But I don't see Carson being the reason that Arizona wins this game. I think he'll be fine as far as giving you decent fantasy points. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think he's going to outperform Aaron Rodgers. Now, Minnesota has a very stellar defense. Green struggles. But what Kier struggles? Running the ball, play action, pass. Now, whether they're going to use James Starks again as a starting tailback or most of the game versus Eddie Lacy, I don't know. But one thing's for certain, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the ball at least 25 to 30 times in this game.
No doubt
about
that.
And you know that he's going to have big-time receptions from somebody from somewhere, whether it's in the screen game or it's the long game. You know what's coming. You can't say that about Carson this week. You can't. Now, again, I'm not saying Carson's going to have a bad game. What I'm saying is comparing the two, I would always and forever go with Aaron over Carson unless this is the only way I wouldn't in this week is if I knew all of Carson's weapons were healthy, offensive line-wise, wide receiver-wise. Other than that, I'd say, okay, well, now you got a debate on your hands because, yes, Aaron and the Packers are struggling. Yes, they're not being as productive as they could be or should be. But at the same time, you're not getting a full package with Carson. So I got to debate you and disagree with you on that.
All right. Minnesota preventing fantasy points against the three main positions. I'm not discounting the tight end position, but the three main positions I'm really talking about are quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. And in that order, quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, Minnesota is 5 against the quarterback, 8 against the running back, and 9th against the wide receiver in preventing fantasy points. Okay? I'm just saying, okay? That's Minnesota. And Aaron Rodgers is on the road going against that. So all that has to do with how a quarterback is going to be able to perform. And since you want to bring this up, I'm going to bring it up. Cincinnati is 7th against the quarterback, which is worse than Minnesota. 14th against the running back, which is worse than Minnesota. And 7th against the wide receiver position, which is better than Minnesota. So the only position that Cincinnati is better than Minnesota isn't preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position. And it's really not that much of a difference, 9th versus 7th. So I'm saying this. I would rather go with a quarterback that's playing home, going against a statistically worse defense compared to a quarterback that's going on the road, and their offense is not performing that well, and going against a, in my opinion, a better defense, and the strong possibility that he may not get those fantasy points. Now, I know he did it against Carolina. Of course, he did it against Detroit. He was playing at home. But I got to believe this is back-to-back division games in Aaron Rodgers. It's not back-to-back division games with Arizona, even though, and I'll give you this statistic. You haven't brought it out, but I'll bring it out. The Cardinals' tendency to not play well after they finish playing Seattle, which is fine. I understand that because it's a big division rival, and here comes the letdown. I don't think it happens because of the rival that the Cardinals are going against, especially Carson, has to do with his first team, the team that drafted him. So I think the rest of the team is going to be inspired to help their quarterback beat his former team. So I got to believe more in Bruce Arians' offense at this point than I do in Mike McCarthy and company, even though it's Aaron Rodgers. I keep on saying this, and I'll say it to the cows come home until people realize that Carson Palmer is one of the best deep ball, not the best deep ball passer in the NFL. I've heard, and I've been saying this for the longest, ever since last year, and believe it or not, for the first time, I heard it on TV in the last, I think it was in NFL Fantasy Live, whatever it was, the last couple of days, that they acknowledged he's one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL, and I've been saying this for a long time. Even when he was with the Oakland Raiders, I knew this. This guy was one of the best accurate deep ball throws in the NFL, and a lot of people thought he was washed up. He's healthy. His wide receivers are relatively healthy for the most part, and regardless of who's in there, he's been able to ball out, regardless of what matchups he's been able to ball out. People keep underestimating this guy, and this guy has been nothing short of MVP-type season. So it is what it is. I understand. Let's move on. That we can go back and forth for the whole show, for that matter. But we wasted too much time going back and forth in this. So what I'm saying is this: you play Carson Palmer, okay? If you have Carson Palmer on your roster, this is a no brainer for me. It's a no brainer for me. You play Carson Palmer. It may be a bad matchup. But he played Pat. He threw over 360 yards in a bad matchup last week. You play.
Wow.
Now, this guy, and I just traded him away. Okay, I just traded this guy away because he's too highly inconsistent. He's more bust than boom to me. Even though they consider him one of the top wide receivers in the league. I don't. I've had enough of him. I got rid of him. I'm talking about AJ Green. He's going up against, Patrick Peterson. You got to play him if you don't have any other choices. You got to play him because he's a top receiver in fantasy. But like I said, he's more boom than bust, and I think he's going to be a bust this week. You got to play Tyler Eifert because that's Andy Dalton. That's not the target for Andy Dalton. So you got to play him. On the other side of the ball, like I said, you play Carson Palmer. I like Andre Ellington in the passing game. I don't think he's going to do too much in running game. I think that's Chris Johnson's forte. Change of pace, bring him in, he catches well out of the backfield. And I think Carson Palmer with the pass rush is probably going to do a lot of dump offs. Quite naturally, you play Larry Fitzgerald, and it's a crapshoot on who else is going to be the wide receiver. Michael Floyd may be maybe playing, but he may be limited. John Brown, I think, is probably going to play, but he's going to be a crapshoot because he's dealing with a hamstring also. Jermaine Gresham, I would say in this game, if you are lacking a tight end and there's no other alternatives out there, Jermaine Gresham could be a viable option. And quite naturally, the kicker, who's one of the most accurate kickers in all of football, in reality and in fantasy, is Chandler Cannizzaro. So you play him too. Also, Victor, it's you.
Well, again, I don't like anything going on here.
Really?
The reason why I don't is because Tyler Eifert is a beast, yes, but Arizona secondary can cover the tight end. Arizona's pretty daggone good. Giovanni Bernard might get off. Here's the deal. Another guy you touted a long time ago, who's apparently now the second stringer again, is Mr.
Jeremy Hill.
Jeremy Hill. He's the guy, I think.
Huge disappointment.
Well, yeah. Well, not the biggest bust. Right now, the biggest bust, fantasy-wise, in my opinion, is Eddie Lacy.
Yep.
But Jeremy Hill is the guy I think that's going to have the better game here because they need to power the ball. Cincinnati does. Power the rock down the field. Giovanni is not the power back. Not at all. AJ Green, I said it in the preseason. Not even in my top 10 anymore. He's not. I think J.J. Watt got it right, even though he shouldn't have did it in public, when he said that he's got that red rocket pop gun arm, whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get AJ the ball. Mohamed Sanu and all those other guys, they're creating off of the short pass. But at the same time, what I think is best for business in this game is to avoid anything that's going to get you small points. You're going into the playoffs, fantasy playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. At least you're getting ready for them. And Chris Johnson is a big-time boom guy in this game. That's about it. I mean, Larry Fitz, yes, but I don't think it's going to be that big of an impact because Carson's going to see him get double-teamed a lot. Jermaine Gresham is a guy that probably needs to step up in this game, but I wouldn't bank on him. Defensively, I think it's going to be a very good defensive game. I really do. But after looking at what Houston could do with the running attack versus that defense, that's why I think Chris Johnson is going to have some fun in this game. That's all I got, JT.
Okay, let's move on to Dallas at Miami. Tony Romo is coming back, one of your favorite quarterbacks. A lot of people don't like Tony Romo. Tony Romo is a stud in fantasy. He's one of the better quarterbacks, believe it or not, and people don't want to admit it, but even if they don't like the team, and the Dallas Cowboy haters, believe it or not, in fantasy, Tony Romo is one a top five quarterback. in fantasy. That's the fact. That's without a doubt. Now, he's coming back. He's probably going to be a little rusty. This is probably a good game for Tony Romo to come back, even though Miami does have a decent pass rush. So if you don't have, quite naturally, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, or Ben Roethlisberger, and you've been hanging on to Tony Romo either on your IR or you've been sitting on his bench and waiting for Tony Romo to come back. A lot of people have been doing that. A lot of leagues that I've been in, they've been holding on to Tony Romo, anticipating him coming back this week, which he is. He's active. You play Tony Romo against the Miami Dolphins. This is going to help Dez Bryant quite naturally. It's going to really help, even though McFadden is questionable. What else is new? Because of a groin, what else is new with Darren McFadden? But you still play Darren McFadden because it really don't have any solid running back depth to speak of. Now, they got rid of Christine Michael, and they got a couple of guys that no names sitting back there. Rod Smith is probably the direct backup to Darren McFadden. But you play Darren McFadden against the Miami defense, who is 31st against the run, 24th against the quarterback, 17th against the wide receiver. So this is a nice get-right game for the Dallas Cowboys, along with the tight end. So you play Tony Romo, you play Darren McFadden, quite naturally you're going to play Dez Bryant, and you play Jason Witten because all these guys should be relevant in this game, and they can't afford to lose any more games. And I think they'll play well. I took Dallas, you take Miami, Vic.
In this game, it's going to be another opportunity. Cutto just knocked this dude down twice in one round. That should be a 10-7 round. How did he not win? Okay, anyway. Miami.
Come on, man.
Okay, so Miami, here we go.
Yes, sir.
I do not like Ryan Tannehill at all, as I've said in the past. Mm-hmm. I do believe they've underutilized Jordan Cameron. That's his best friend, a tight end, and a run game. I think Adai is going to get in there and take Lamar Miller's job, honestly, race toward the end and make this season worthwhile now that Philbin is gone. That defense is going to be something special because, again, if Adonikin too gets his hands on Tony Romo, which I don't think they're going to let him do, but if he gets his hands on him, Tony's going back out. I'm one of those people that held on to Tony Romo. I kept him on my IR in one of my leagues. I played Rod Taylor. I played Alex Smith. And, you know, I'm doing pretty decent in both leagues. But I promptly put in Tony Romo. Why? Because Dez Bryant versus Brent Grimes is going to be a very good matchup. Very, very good. But that's all I can say about Miami, their defense. Jarvis Landry, he can't produce that much if Tannehill doesn't give him the ball. And I don't think he's going to get him the ball.
I got to disagree with that.
I don't think
he's a PPR machine,
yeah.
Man. Oh, my
no,
God.
No, I'm not saying he's not a PPR machine. What I'm saying is that Tannehill against Dallas' secondary. You got Greg Hardy coming in. You got old boy from college coming in. You got Sean Lee and McClain. Listen to me. They're going to put the heat on this guy. And will he get the ball to him? I don't know. Yes, he's a PPR machine because that's all Tannehill likes to throw to. And Barry Church over top and whichever corner they got covering him, that's going to be tough. That's why I think Jordan Cameron needs to be used a lot more in this game. He should be. If he's not, it's a big, big, big mistake. But I don't think Miami has a shot unless they put Romo on the shelf. And it can happen with Ndamukong Suh and a push up the middle. Jelani Jenkins and the rest of those guys need to step up and show out. That's all I got, JT.
Okay.
Question for you, though.
Go ahead.
Would you? Don't worry about anybody else on this. I just want to know, would you start Stevie Johnson versus Kansas City or Nate Washington versus the Jets?
Stevie Johnson versus Kansas City for the simple reason that Kansas City is I'm not exactly quite sure what position they are, but they're 30, they're either 30th, 31, or 32. They're in that far down in preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position. So there's no doubt about it. Malcolm Floyd's gone. Keenan Allen's gone. The option to throw the ball to San Diego is Stevie Johnson. Nate Washington is the second option. Stevie Johnson is the first option.
Last one I have for you. Roddy White. They've said that he's gonna be a bigger part of the game. And do you play him at all?
No. They've been saying that since week seven or eight, whatever it was, and he really hasn't been part of it. Quite naturally, I had said this before when they haven't been giving the ball to Roddy White before, is that every now and then he may have a big game. He really hasn't had. I think he's only had one big game or one decent game since the beginning of the season. You put Roddy White in there, you're setting yourself up for 2, 3, 4 points at best. There's some better options out there if you have someone to use other than Roddy White. You're really, and I hate to say it like this, but I'm gonna say it like this: you're pissing in the wind if you put Roddy White in there because it may come back and hit you in the face. And you put it that way.
Well, I'm just putting it out there for you. That's all.
I don't like Roddy White at all. Like I said, he may have a good game. They're going up against who are they going against? They're going up against Indianapolis. When we get to that game, we can talk about it a little bit more.
Here.
You may not be here. Come on, man. Hang with me here for a minute. Anyway.
No.
Anyway, let's go to this bitter cold. This is probably the coldest environment anybody is playing today. And we're talking about the Windy City, where they just got dumped on big time, close to 12 inches of snow. Wind chill right now, I think, was about like 4. Game time is supposed to be – the temperature is going to be in the mid-20s. And Brock Osweiler is going to start his first game as an NFL quarterback. Going against a red-hot Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears, without more than likely, I haven't heard anything yet, without Matt Forte. That means Jeremy Langford is going up against that defense. But they're playing in Chicago. These two teams are not foreign to cold weather, quite naturally, Denver being in Denver and Chicago being in Chicago. Know what this type of weather is all about. No one likes it playing it, but in my opinion, I don't like Jay Cutler in this game. I think he comes back to earth. I don't think it's going to be a good game for Jay Cutler in that pass rush. I know that DeMarcus Ware is not there, but they still have a dynamite defense. And a defensive backfield that's just waiting for Jay Cutler to toss to him. Quite naturally, this is a former team of Jay Cutler's. He may have some incentive to beat his old coach, who's in Denver right now. So I don't like Jay Cutler. I do like whoever is the running back, whether it's Matt Forte. I kind of doubt he's not going to come back until next week. And that leaves it for Jeremy Langford, who is very good in the passing game and is a very good runner, a rushing running back, dual threat running back, I should say. So you play Jeremy Langford. I know this is a tough matchup, but I still say you play Jeremy Langford in this. And the only other guy I can say, because I'm not too sure about Alshon Jeffrey, he's still dealing with some physical issues, Martellus Bennett, who seems to be the bailout for Jay Cutler and one of the better options, I think, for Jay Cutler in being able to move the football down the field. And I'll give Victor the privilege of going to Denver. Denver.
Okay, here's the deal. This is going to be a C.J. Anderson coming out party for this year. Yet another player that has been somewhat of a disappointment this year. But I don't think it's because of his ability. I think it's the scheme. He's not a zone running back type player. So that kind of hurts him. But in order to protect Brock Osweiler in that weather, okay, the kid's 6'7", 6'8", something like that, about 240, 60, something like that, tall, rangy guy. You got Emmanuel Sanders. Hey, boy, you got Emmanuel Sanders, who's hobbling on a messed up ankle, but he's going to play. You've got Vernon Davis, who I think he's going to target a lot. You got Big A, Demaryius Thomas. But out of all that, C.J. Anderson and the run game is going to be what matters in Chicago. It's the turf is terrible in Chicago. It is. So they're going to run the rock. Just run it, and just pile up yardage and get me in zone. Now, Jay's used to throwing in that type of weather because he's been in Chicago for a while, and he was in Vanderbilt. He did a little bit of that in Denver, but not much. The problem here is Aqib Talib and that Denver Bronco defense is going to have to score maybe once or twice. I really think so. Because Martellus Bennett is a beast. T.J. Ward can hit him. T.J. Ward can't cover him. You know, your guy, Alshon Jeffries, against Aqib Talib, that's a very good matchup if both are healthy. Only one is healthy. And I think Aqib has the advantage. That leaves Eddie Royal and Wilson, Marquise Wilson, at receiver. Now, Langford is a pretty good running back. I mean, he looked very good last week and the week before. But he's going to go against this defense that's pretty tough. I think that's going to shut him down. And you're right. Matt Forte is not coming back till next week. And here's the deal. If Chicago's not in any hunt for any playoff spot, they're not going to give Forte the ball that much. Forte is going to some other team next year. It's going to suck, but that's it. It is what it is. So we'll see what happens. I think Denver is going to win this match, and it's going to be because of their defense, not because of Brock Osweiler. That's what
okay.
I got.
Okay. Let's move on to – okay. We're going to the Twin Cities, going to – Green Bay at Minnesota. All right. Eddie Lacy is probable and expected to play. Supposedly, and I'm talking about Green Bay, and you, I'll give you Minnesota. Supposedly, Eddie Lacy is going to play. I know that Starks is remaining the starter. Now, in one of my leagues, I have Eddie Lacy and James Starks. I've been trying to trade that tandem, and nobody seems to want them, which is pretty stupid on their part, but it is what it is. I've even packaged them with some other players, and still nobody wants to take that, which is mind-boggling to me, because if you don't have one, you have the other. You know who's going to play for the most part, and in that offense, even though as dysfunctional as it is, they still want to try to run the football, and both of them, even James Starks is probably better in catching the ball out of the backfield. So you know Aaron Rodgers is more than capable of, and willing to dump the ball off if he has to. So I would play James Starks in this. I know it's going to be a difficult matchup because of the defense of Minnesota, who, like I said before, is in the top 10 in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver position. But I still would play James Starks, because you have D'Angelo Williams out, you have Mark Ingram out, you have Duke Johnson or Isaiah Crowell out, and you have the running backs Rashid Jennings, Shane Vereen, out in from the Giants. So you probably be short of running backs, and you need to put a running back in that position. If he's with James Starks and Eddie Lacy, or just James Starks, I would put him in there without a shadow of a doubt. Quite naturally, you play Aaron Rodgers. He's a top five quarterback. You got to play him. Davante Adams, even though he only got not even 80 yards out of the thing, he got about 20 targets. You still got to play him because I think he's a viable wide receiver too. Definitely a flex, and along with Randall Cobb, who has been a big disappointment up until now. But you got to play these guys because it's Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to be throwing the football because that's what they do for the most part. You also play, and this guy, I like this guy too, because I think one of the positions that has historically been a vulnerable position, whether with Mike Zimmer or prior defensive-minded coaches, is the tight end position, and Richard Rodgers has been getting some decent targets. So you play Richard Rodgers in this matchup too, because Minnesota is historically weak against defending the tight end position. So out of those positions, you play Aaron Rodgers, you play James Starks, as he could be a flex, and these wide receivers can be either a wide receiver two or flex options for you also. Victor, I give you the privilege of having the Twin Cities team, Minnesota.
I really don't want Minnesota, but I'll take them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, AP has not been stopped by Green Bay in a very long time. Even when he was gone for last year, they couldn't stop him. And right now, he's an older running back, leading the league in rushing. He is not, you know, slowing down, ladies and gentlemen. Next year, he's probably going to be the same AP. Going against a team that is struggling to stop the run and the pass. However, with that being said, yeah, you know I'm about to go to bed.
Stop, man, stop.
No, I am, literally, after this. But
God,
here's the deal. Right now, Teddy Bridgewater, he's kind of hot. You can thank Stephon Diggs for that. But that also has hurt Charles Johnson, another guy everybody thought was going to have a breakout year. But Stephon Diggs came in, and now he's his number one target. So much so that when Kyle Rudolph had a wide-open touchdown in the end zone last week versus the Raiders, he dropped it because he didn't think he was going to get the ball. But here's the crux of it. Mike Wallace is a deep threat. Teddy's not throwing it deep all the time. Stephon Diggs, quick guy, give him the ball any way you can. Viable option. AP, he's going to run the rock all day, every day. But on the defensive side, they have some monsters. Everson Griffin, Mr. Barr, they're releasing Anthony Barr. He is just killing me in Madden 1. And then in real life, he's killing other players. Terrence Newsom, who's been pretty good as of late, has been shown that Father Time can't stop him right now. Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith. They moved Chad Greenway back to the middle in the absence of the backer. Sharif Floyd and all those other guys. Minnesota's loaded for bear on the defensive side of the ball. Mike Zimmer knows what he's doing. But with that being said, I don't think that there's enough offense in Minnesota, even at home, to beat the pack. Again, I would start Aaron Rodgers over Carson Palmer in this situation, only because I know Aaron's going to be able to get out of the pocket. I know he's going to find his receivers. And I know he's throwing the rock a lot in this game. At least that should be the game plan, in my opinion. Make it a shootout, because you know that Teddy Bridgewater cannot
compete in that area. With that being said, JT, I'm about to head on to bed as I look at my photos, get his wife with boobs hanging out.
What did you just say?
Miguel Cotto's wife got her boobs halfway hanging out of her dress, and they've got a close-up of it.
Yeah, that's too much information there, Victor.
Well, she's covering them up now. I guess
she heard you. She heard you. Okay, so you can't be too tired.
Oh, I'm tired, dude. I'm about to go against my wife and go to sleep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, boy.
So, because I got to get up, man. I got to give it a couple hours anyway.
You know, I'm sure Asia doesn't hear this. Otherwise, I would tell her.
She's
you
right
put,
here.
You're putting a business
She's
right out
right
in the
here.
Street. You're putting a business out in the street.
She hears me. She's right here. I mean, it's not
yeah,
like
you're putting a business
me.
Out in the street. She don't want to hear that. It's going over the airways. She don't want you to put that over the airways. My wife's boobs is hanging out. Come on, man.
I didn't say mine. I said Miguel Cotto's.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
See, get your hearing checked, old man.
I could have sworn you said that, but that's okay.
I know. Alzheimer's is a mother, isn't it? Hey, look.
Get some rest, man. Wuss.
I will.
Wuss.
Whatever. Happy Thanksgiving, sucker.
Same to you. No.
Are y'all doing a show? Yeah.
No, I'm not going to be doing a show on Thanksgiving. I already put that out there. I'll be pushing out a replay. On Thanksgiving, so I can totally enjoy it without having to worry about a show. Not that I don't want to do it, but it's Thanksgiving. Enjoy your holiday too. Don't eat any Korean food on Thanksgiving either.
Oh, shut up! That is just wrong. Bye, loser.
Bye, American soldier.
Shut up. Bye.
See ya. Anyway. Okay, people. We want to thank Victor for joining us as usual. I got a caller in here. Let me see what this caller here is. A call from the 973. Welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and what you got to say.
This is Jeff the Joker. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Jeff? How you doing, man? How's it going?
Good,
Victor just
good.
Left.
Yeah, I just caught the end.
Right.
Yeah, my computer crashed, so but I figured, well, I'll give you a call and then put in my two cents. I don't know if you heard, but your current team is playing your former team today. I'm pretty sure you're aware of that.
Yes, I am.
And they're going to have a little ceremony at halftime to induct two of the great Jets players into their Ring of Honor, one of whom is refusing to attend and won't specify why. Him being Matt Snell, I think they'll probably show a little of the ceremony on TV. They don't usually show that during halftime because they want to squeeze in a lot of commercials. And I can't believe it. You know, that's a great honor. Any team inducting you into their ring or circle or whatever. And Emerson Boozer is going to be there, but no Matt Snell.
Well, let me ask you something, Jeff.
Yeah.
Let me quickly ask you something, because the game is being played in Houston. So they're still going to do this?
Really? Of course,
yes.
Warner was in East Rutherford. Well,
no, it's being played in Houston. Absolutely.
Well, maybe. You know, it's funny. I look it up on my computer, but that froze up on me. I don't know what's going on. Maybe Boozer's in Texas, because you almost always that's done at the home stadium.
Absolutely.
Again,
that's why I asked you that.
The Jets.
Yeah.
with the Jets, you never know. But I just think it's really strange. Supposedly, Snell had a feud with the Jets ownership, but he won't go into detail why. And you know what? If he's got a beef with the ownership, he shouldn't have a beef with his former teammates or whatever, you know. But whatever, that's his business. And, but I'll tell you, Snell looks like a bitter old man. He's the only Jet to ever score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So
right.
And it wasn't just a one game thing. He was an excellent player, a very, very solid fullback. And back then the fullbacks carried the ball once in a while. He didn't get a lot of carries, but he did get carries. Tonight they're CNN is supposed to be showing a documentary about the problem of rapes on college campuses, and Jameis Winston is threatening to sue CNN if they show it, because he gets mentioned in a negative light in that documentary. You know, it's funny. Just hearing that, I'm not a big fan of Winston. Besides just that incident, there's been other incidents. There's something wrong with that guy. You know, I'm not kidding. That makes me want to see the documentary more, you know?
Right.
So I think that's 8 o'clock tonight on CNN.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, that's a serious accusation. So nobody's forgetting about that anytime soon.
That's true. All right, let's move on to the Indianapolis versus going into ATL versus the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta coming off a bye. In fact, both these teams coming off a bye. Indianapolis is coming off a bye. Andrew Luck is not going to be starting. Matthew Hasselbeck is going to be starting against that Atlanta defense, who is sixth in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback position and fourth in doing the same in the wide receiver position. They are in the bottom quarter, I should say, 27th and 29th, respectively, in preventing fantasy points against the running back position and tight end. I think Hasselbeck and the Indianapolis Colts take advantage of the weakness of the Atlanta Falcons, and this should be a relatively big day for Frank Gore, who I think you should play in here, and also of Kobe Fleener. I think Matt Hasselbeck is going to rely on safe options, which is the running back and the tight end, running back quite naturally against a weak running defense and a short, safe throws in the middle of the field, the tight end. So those two guys are definite plays for me. And then T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. Like I said, Atlanta is number four in preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position. That's one of the better defenses preventing points in fantasy in the wide receivers. So I think these guys, even though they are probably more effective in PPR formats, and that's where you would play them. I know T.Y. Hilton hasn't really done that much. And I would say that he's probably a wide receiver two, and Dante Moncrief is more of a wide receiver three, maybe in the flex, and this is in PPR because of the 40-year-old quarterback and Matt Hasselbeck, who I, for lack of quarterbacks, that you probably have better options, but if you don't, then he's won the two matchups that he's played. You could possibly play Matt Hasselbeck. On the other side, I'm not too enthusiastic about Matt Flynn. Matt Ryan. Because he's been Matt Flynn like of late. Now he's going up against the defense that is 25th against preventing fantasy points in the running back. I mean, quarterback 21st in the running back. And 23rd against the wide receiver, and 23rd against the tight end. So, for all intents and purposes, this should be a Matt Ryan get right. Devontae Freeman consistently getting his yards and a possible touchdown. Julio Jones, weak rested, feeling a lot better than he had previously before the bye. And also, Jacob Tammy. So, like I said, this should be a get-right game for the Atlanta Falcons. So I like all those options. If you have them, feel free to play them. I think they're going to be consistent in whatever their projections are in the fantasy points. Jeff, I don't know if you want to interject anything, but that's how I feel about both those teams.
I read something that the Colts coaches said something to the effect that Gore is going to be getting more touches down the stretch,
yep.
Which is something to keep an eye on. And you mentioned something regarding Hasselbeck in Indianapolis. And this is something when a backup quarterback, no matter how good he is, because, I mean, Hasselbeck is probably the best backup quarterback in the league. And, you know, for a time, he was an excellent starting quarterback. It does change the offense a little. Once in a while, there's a receiver who they have, you know, a little better chemistry with or whatever. But I think also if the backup stays in the lineup for a while, it kind of evens out. But it does change the offense, so the ball distribution a little bit. And I'll tell you, talking about, backup quarterbacks to possibly start this week, it's kind of late in the week. But Sanchez is a pretty good start for this week and probably on Thursday. He's got a good matchup this week. I forget who, and my computer froze up on me. He was pretty good late in the season last year. So if you're looking for a starting QB, you could do worse than Sanchez.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the next matchup, a matchup of two AFC West teams, storied franchises back in the AFL days, and these guys still don't like each other since they played in the AFL, now they're in the AFC. San Diego coming off a bye, trying to get a little bit healthier. Malcolm Floyd's not playing. Darius Green is questionable because of his ankle, so he's not at lock to play this week. Going to go with the Alex Smith led Kansas City Chiefs. San Diego is one of the worst teams defending against the running back position, so that's a no brainer for me. And to me, he's a RB1. Especially against this matchup against San Diego. And that's, I'm talking about Charkandrick West. I think he gets a 100-yard rushing and probably a visit into the end zone. Quite naturally, he's going to get a couple, two or three catches out of the backfield. That amounts to probably 23rd or somewhere around. So he's a good play. Jeremy Maclin. If one thing that San Diego can do, they defend against the pass well. They're number 8 in preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position. So I'm not in PPR, Maclin would be a flex or a wide receiver 3, possibly with some upside, maybe 2, but I wouldn't count on it. I think the weakness, which is historically, just like Minnesota had the weakness against the tight end position, so does San Diego historically for years has been one of these teams that have a weakness against their the tight end position, and this season is no different. So Travis Kelce, quite naturally, in my opinion, is a bona fide tight end 1 in this matchup. So you got to play him, and one of the most consistent and point getting field goal kickers. Yes, I'm talking about field goal kickers because kickers are people, too, and they get you decent fantasy points. This team, if they don't score touchdowns, they get in position to kick field goals. And Cairo Santos is one of the best, and he's a damn valid good play this week. Going on the other side, coming off the bye, Phillip Rivers is a solid fantasy starter this season with multiple scores in all but one game. He has a 5-game streak for 300-plus yards. And even though he lost Malcolm Floyd and Keenan Allen, he still can toss for damn near 300 yards. He still has Stevie Johnson, who I think is a real good play today. I think especially in PPR, he's going to get heavily targeted and targets equal opportunities. And those opportunities will turn into receptions. So despite the catches, I think he accumulates enough yards close to the century mark. And his tried and true guy, even though Kansas City is one of the better teams defending, if not the best team, in defending against the tight end position, but you can't discount the amount of time Phillip Rivers dumps it off to Antonio Gates. You got to play him. You may want to temper your expectations, but you still got to play Antonio Gates. And also the jitterbug, the little water bug coming out of the backfield. I'm not talking about Melvin Gordon. I'm talking about Danny Woodhead. Maybe not the best runner, but he's damn good in PPR. Phillip Rivers likes dumping off to Danny Woodhead. Probably going to get a lot of dump offs. Kansas City is pretty weak against the pass catching running backs, and Danny Woodhead is one of the best. And I like him getting a little dump off, a flare pass coming out of the backfield, and getting a touchdown pass out of that. So, Jeff, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I think Rivers, who's having a good fantasy year, is very underrated in fantasy and reality. And one of his strengths is he throws to whoever. He doesn't just throw to Pro Bowl guys.
Right.
You know, there have been some years he's put up good numbers, you know, throwing to, you know, pretty average wide receivers. And at least he's got Stevie Johnson, who's pretty good. Across from him is, I think they got Inman and maybe somebody else, but they're without Floyd. And they're in the past when Gates was out. He's thrown to the other tight ends and the other receivers. It looks like Gates is banged up, but he's going to play, and he'll dump it off to the backs. And you know, he's definitely he keeps that offense moving, and with whoever he's got, you know, and that's important.
All right, let's move on to my team and my former team matching up against each other. We're talking about the New York Jets visiting the Houston Texans in Reliant Stadium. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been playing well, former quarterback of the Houston Texans. I do like Ryan Fitzpatrick in this matchup. He throws around 250 yards in most games and almost always two touchdowns, but never three. I think he can throw a couple touchdowns in here. That's what I think he may do in this game. And more than likely throwing it to Eric Decker and to Brandon Marshall. Now, in my opinion, Brandon Marshall is a wide receiver one. Decker is a wide receiver three with some upside. Definitely a flex option because both these two wide receivers, as long as they're healthy, are going to get the football. On the other side, T.J. Yates, Brian Hoyer, still going through concussion protocol, has memory loss, which is not a good thing. So who knows how long it's going to take before Brian Hoyer to get right and get cleared to play first and then get cleared to play in the game. So it's T.J. Yates' team for now, going through their, fourth or fifth quarterback change, if you count Mallett, Hoyer, Mallett, back and forth until the Hoyer secured the position, and now it's T.J. Yates. I don't like Alfred Blue in this game. The running back position has not been consistent. This is what the Houston Texans want to do. They want to run the football. They haven't been able to run the football since Arian Foster's been out. So they've pretty much changed the offense. It's a passing offense now. And that means that DeAndre Hopkins, who's dealing with a knee issue, you got to play him. He's been balling out regardless who's been the quarterback, even though he's going to be on Revis Island. Allen Hurns, and I'm trying to think who else. Allen Hurns played well against the Jets last week. I think DeAndre Hopkins and his ability – it's going to play well. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get into the end zone, but I think he's going to get enough fantasy points to be relevant. I think the alternate position would be the Nate Washington on the other side. All the coverage is going to go toward DeAndre Hopkins, who's been the main target for whatever quarterback is on Houston. So Nate Washington is going to get that one-on-one And I think he'll be able to get a trip into the end zone. And I think this team is going to be able to move the football, maybe not into the end zone, but get in, close enough within field goal range for Nick Novak to be relevant. So I'm saying that Nick Novak gets at least 3 field goal attempts, if not more. So kickers are people too, and I think he gathers some fantasy points in that. All right, let's move on to the Oakland Raiders at the Detroit Lions. This should be, in my opinion, a relative shootout. Both these teams are really not that strong against the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver position, even though the Oakland may be a little bit stouter in the defending against the wide receiver or preventing wide receiver fantasy points. But both these teams are not in the top part of the fantasy points, the defenses. So I'm expecting Matt Stafford to be able to throw for about 300 yards. They're playing at home. They're on a high because they finally beat one of their division rivals at their division rivals' home, meaning Detroit finally overcame a 20-year drought in beating Green Bay. Most people say that they're going to have a letdown. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they want to keep this momentum going. So I'm saying that the Stafford, who this is a passing team, gets his 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. I'm calling for Ameer Abdullah. Believe it or not, I'm calling for Ameer Abdullah to be a surprise guy this week. I think he gets double-digit fantasy points. In my opinion, he's a great flex play in this. If you're down on running backs are scarce, and especially when you don't have D'Angelo Williams, especially when you don't have Mark Ingram, don't have any of the running backs out of Cleveland or the New York Giants, and you're scrambling for a running back. I would rather go with a running back that has more versatility, meaning being able to run the football and catch it out of the backfield, from the Detroit Lions. I know they've been bad against it from the running back position, but I like Ameer Abdullah versus Joyke Bell, who is strictly a running back. Or Theo Riddick, who is strictly a catching running back, versus Ameer Abdullah, who can do a little bit of both. So I like Ameer Abdullah in this matchup. Quite naturally, you play Calvin Johnson in here and Eric Ebron for the simple fact is that Oakland is the one of the worst teams defending against the tight end position, and Eric Ebron and most tight ends who played Oakland have done well. I think Eric Ebron, a more athletic and an athletic tight end, can do well in here. On the other side of the ball, or on the other side of the field, I should say, Derek Carr, I think he can exploit this Detroit defense. And I like Latavius Murray. You're missing Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Johnny Manziel, if he's starting him. I can't see how you could be doing that. And also Ben Roethlisberger. Derek Carr has been balling out, and he threw for multiple scores in all but one of his starts and totaled 13 touchdowns over just the last 4 games. He's on a string of 3 straight 300-yard games, and he's spreading the ball around to Amari Cooper, who I say you play, Michael Crabtree, who I say you definitely play. So that's how I feel about that. Let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers versus the Seattle Seahawks with Blaine Gabbert. I'm saying it. Blaine Gabbert as the quarterback since Colin Kaepernick has been put on season-ending IR. He's going to have a surgery on his non-throwing shoulder, so he's out for the rest of the year, and it's Blaine Gabbert's show. I see this team as the team that scores the least amount of points this week. They're playing in Seattle. And I definitely don't like Blaine Gabbert as a fantasy-relevant quarterback this week. They're going with Sean Drown because Carlos Hyde is still not healthy enough to run the football. Who do I say that you play in this game? I hate to say it, people. One of these guys may stand out versus the other, but I can't play Anquan Boldin. I can't play Quentin Patton. I cannot play Torrey Smith and Garrett Celek. No way. Those are the three wide receivers, and last but not least, Garrett Celek is the tight end. You got Blaine Gabbert against the Legion of Boom in Seattle. I can't play any of those. In my opinion, that none of them are fantasy relevant. On the other side of the ball, Marshawn Lynch, as long as he's able to play, and from what I understand that he's questionable to play last week because of an abdominal issue, and he's still questionable to play because of the same issue. He hasn't practiced, but is he still expected to play? What I'm saying is this, you play Marshawn Lynch. I know you're taking a chance, but he played last week, and that was the first time he had that abdominal issue. He hasn't practiced that much, if at all. More time for that abdominal issue to heal somewhat. He's probably in a better position and feeling that more healthy than he was last week. So I would say you play Marshawn Lynch. The other players, Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin, who's been looks like a favorite wide receiver. I would probably in a pinch wide receiver 3-4, maybe a flex. Then you're taking a shot with the flex, a Doug Baldwin. But otherwise, I stay away from the tight end and the wide receiver position, and I also would play the kicker, who's been very consistent. Stephen Hauschka has been very consistent, so I would play him. All right, let's move on to the St. Louis. Quite naturally, you played Todd Gurley. There's no two ways about that. Todd Gurley is a solid play here. I think he, against this defense, even though it's been top 10 in defending running back fantasy points, I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens, seems like Todd Gurley is more or less matchup proof, and I would definitely play him. Tavon Austin, you got Case Keenum. Now, a lot of people are discounting Case Keenum, but one of the things, and I'm familiar with this because Case Keenum used to play for the Houston Texans, Case Keenum likes to push the ball down the field. Maybe not having the strongest arm, but he likes to throw the football down the field. And one of the players that could benefit from this is Tavon Austin, who has speed to burn and are trying to get the ball into his hands as much as possible because he's a big play wide receiver. So I'm saying that Tavon Austin is going to catch a touchdown pass from Case Keenum, especially get going against the worst pass defense in preventing fantasy points, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. So I like Case Keenum to do well enough to put up some decent fantasy points for Tavon Austin. On the other side of the ball, Joe Flacco is playing home. This is a stout pass rush defense in St. Louis. So I don't expect a lot of points to be scored here. I don't expect a lot of fantasy points to be scored here. So fantasy points are going to be at a premium in this matchup. Who do I like here? In PPR, I like Kamar Akins because he's the number one target in wide receiver position. And also Joe Flacco at home loves throwing to the tight end. So I like the Crockett Gilmore to get a few catches, two or three, maybe 30, 40 yards, somewhere around there, and possibly catch a touchdown pass. But it's going to be fantasy points in this match are going to be at a premium. All right, let's move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. versus the Philadelphia Eagles, playing in Philadelphia. Jameis Winston has been playing relatively well. Ryan Matthews is out because of a concussion. Austin Seferian-Jenkins is again listed as questionable and is expected not to play. Vincent Jackson is also out. So I'm expecting that Jameis Winston, who threw a couple of picks last week for the first time in a few games, probably throws for 200-and-something yards, maybe a one score, which goes to Mike Evans, who's been balling out. Expect him to get 7 or 8 catches. He's a wide receiver one. That's Jameis Winston's favorite target, so I imagine he's going to do well. In the running back position, I don't expect the running back to do too much against the number 5 defense, preventing fantasy points against the running back position. Their weakness is the wide receiver, and that plays into Mike Evans' wheelhouse. So I expect Mike Evans to have a very good day. On the other side of the ball, DeMarco Murray, who doesn't have to worry about Ryan Matthews because he's going to be out. So DeMarco Murray is going to get the ball quite a bit. And with a little sprinkle of Darren Sproles, which I don't think is going to be that much of a sprinkle. I think it's going to be DeMarco Murray's show, whether it's in the pass or the run game. So this is a showcase, and I would say a breakout game, but this is where DeMarco Murray is going to get close to 20 fantasy points running the football and catching the football out of the backfield from Mark Sanchez. Jordan Matthews has been a Mark Sanchez lover. Anytime Jordan Matthews is in lineup, I mean, anytime Mark Sanchez is in the lineup, Jordan Matthews does well, and I expect it to happen again because that's Mark Sanchez's favorite target, along with the tight end, which is Zach Ertz. So, and this offense is going to be able to move the football, even though if it doesn't score touchdowns within field goal range, and this is another field goal kicker. And Khalib Sturgis, who I think is going to be able to kick at least 2 or 3 field goals, along with a couple extra points, which will give you close to, if not, double-digit fantasy points from the kicker position, which is always good, always golden if you can get double digits from that. All right, let's move on to the next-to-last matchup that we have here. In the Washington Redskins against the undefeated Carolina Panthers, Corey Brown, one of the wide receivers from the Carolina Panthers, is out with a shoulder injury he suffered in practice. Kirk Cousins has been hot. He's thrown a touchdown in every game but was held to just 1 in all but 2 games. They're on the road. He's never thrown for more than 1 score and averages 210 yards. I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to be too successful in here. I think the guy to really worry about in here would be Jordan Reed. He seems like the more athletic and the more likely to get you relevant fantasy points. These other guys, Jamison Crowder, Pierre Garçon, or Deshaun Jackson, this is a very good, very good defense defending the wide receiver position. Number 5 in preventing fantasy points in the wide receiver position. Number 8 in the same category, defending in quarterbacks. Number 8 in the passing game, they're a lot better in the preventing fantasy points within the top 10 or top 5. Number 16 in the running back. So I think the Washington Redskins are going to have a harder time, especially running the football, catching the football out of the backfield. Chris Thompson, that's his forte. I imagine he's probably going to be a nice dump off of Kirk Cousins. It's a crapshoot on which one of these wide receivers gets the most out of Kirk Cousins in fantasy points. Jamison Crowder, Pierre Garçon, or Deshaun Jackson. With that being said, I'm not sure if I trust any of these guys to do so. I like Cam Newton quite naturally to throw for one and to run for another and always be fantasy relevant. Jonathan Stewart against this defense, I think Jonathan Stewart's going to ball out. And I said before, last week, the week before that, I said for a few weeks, Carolina's running game is one of the, if one of the, if not the best schedule going for the rest of the season. If you can get Jonathan Stewart, get him, because he's going to be one of the most effective, according to the schedule, in the running game from now until the end of the season. And that's including the fantasy playoffs. So I love Jonathan Stewart against this matchup, against even though Washington is 17th in preventing fantasy points against the running back position, I love Jonathan Stewart in this matchup. Along with that, I also love Greg Olsen. One of the best positions that Washington defends against is the tight end position. But how can you sit Greg Olsen, who's in reality is the primary receiver for the Carolina Panthers, and the reliable factor in the offense outside of Cam Newton? So I like, I got to go with that. And because Corey Brown, and this is a, I wouldn't say a shot in the dark, but this is if you're looking for a wide receiver in your flex or wide receiver three, this guy, because Corey Brown's out, gets a bump up, Devin Funchess. He scored in week nine, but he only had two catches and 41 yards last Sunday. Newton will mix and match these receivers, but none of them carry any significance. But because Corey Brown's not there, Devin Funchess is front and center. It's going to be a option that Cam Newton's going to use. So if you're looking for one, it's a sleeper, in my opinion, in this matchup, and that would be Devin Funchess. And quite naturally, this is another opportunity. Carolina is home. They're going to be able to move the football. They're not the most prolific offense, but they're going to be able to move the football in field goal position, and that's telling me that besides getting into the end zone, they're going to be able to get it within field goal position, and Graham Gano is one of the most consistent kickers in all of football, and he's another option if he's sitting out there, and he shouldn't be sitting out there on the waiver wire, to pick him up and put him in there, because this is a favorable matchup for, in my opinion, for Graham Gano. All right, we go to the last matchup, which happens to be Buffalo at New England. Quite naturally, you're going to play Tom Brady. No two ways about that. You play LeSean McCoy. You got to play that. That's no option for those Carlos Williams owners. You got to play Carlos Williams because he's been very effective anytime he's gotten limited touches, but he's been very effective with those limited touches. Sammy Watkins should be played in here because New England is 27th in preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position, and I like Sammy Watkins a lot in this game. And on the other side, quite naturally, like I said, you got to play Tom Brady. You got to play LeGarrette Blount because even though running back position is the Buffalo Bills are 15th in preventing fantasy points in the running back position, LeGarrette Blount, big bruising running back, can be effective in that. No Julian Edelman. That means Danny Amendola front and center. He's going to get targeted early and often. He's going to get about 8 or 9 catches, 70, 80 yards, probably catch a touchdown pass quite naturally, even though Buffalo was 7th in preventing fantasy points in a tight end position. This guy, Rob Gronkowski, is a matchup proof. So you got to play him. All right, people. I've run down the gamut. I tell you this. Jonathan Stewart should be on your target list. Try to get him. For most people, the trade deadline comes up this week. And if you are able to get one of those two backs before the trade deadline, they have one of the most favorable matchups going into your fantasy playoffs, or even Jacksonville or Tampa Bay or Kansas City. If you can get anyone that's Carolina, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, try to do so. You may be able to, but I'm telling you, it's going to benefit you. In the wide receiver position, players that have the most favorable position are from Philadelphia, Kansas City, Miami, Cleveland, Chicago, and I even go as far as Houston. Now, you're not going to get DeAndre Hopkins unless you give up a lot, but you may be able to grab somebody from Philly or Jeremy Maclin or maybe somebody from Miami because or Cleveland. That's all I got to say about that. With that being said, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you on the other side of Thanksgiving on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, like we always do. Have a good weekend. Happy Thanksgiving, and we're out.
I know my rent was gonna be late about a week, so I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it, so.